All right. Welcome to the AACSC August 1st meeting. July is gone. August is here. School is starting everywhere in the state. So, anyway, everybody is busy, busy, I'm sure. First action item is the minutes from July 11th, which I just deleted. There we go. I think everybody has a copy. Copy was sent, I believe, around July 24th. So you should have a copy that you can review.
If nobody has anything, Kelly, I'll move that we accept those as presented.
Second by Heath.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes as presented. Do we have any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries. Agenda item number two, USDL report. I know John is having some health issues and wasn't with us on our morning meeting, so I assume he's still not with us, Derek.
Yeah, he is not on here.
Okay. We'll move on down to item number three, the OSD report and TA report.
All right. Yeah. Everybody, of course, right now, you know, as far as the report for TA, of course, we haven't done anything. I got in two more applications today. I probably got in about five or six already so far. So that's good. Right now I've been busy today, but, on these other ones, as I get them coming in, I'm going ahead, working through them, getting all their stuff done that I do for them. And getting all that addressed, that way, hopefully I won't be having to look at all of them all at one time. So, been doing that, as far as, OSD report, I would say, go ahead and let everybody know I am going to be able to hire a new program advisor. Just found out about that yesterday. So we'll be getting in the process of getting that started. Sooner rather than later. Getting some help. So that'd be nice. Other than that, I have got a few CT applications kind of come in here at the end of the month, and next month we will definitely have CT applications to review as well. Whenever we have next month's meeting.
And then you might not introduce, but Miss Doty, the new rules and policy person for your division.
Yep, glad didn't think about that because she wasn't handling y'all stuff. We have Renee Doty who just came on board. You know, basically here this. Within the last past week, she is going to be, you know, helping us with our rules. Had already been in that process previously, as far as get them all put together, doing the governor's packet, doing all that stuff we have to do. She's already well informed on how all that process goes. So she will be, helping us through that process. So that's going to be nice having that person here in house within our office. Without always having to try to get somebody else to help us when we start really getting deep into that type of stuff. So she's going to be very beneficial. As far as for me, she's going to be taking care of my state electrical apprenticeship committee and the state plumbing apprenticeship committee, minutes. So that takes a little bit off of me having to do those minutes every month. So that will be nice. So we're definitely glad to have her on the team with her experience that she is bringing. It's definitely going to be beneficial for our department.
Good deal. All right. Any questions for Derek? Comments? All right. Agenda item number four, USDOL labor standards information.
Yes. So of course, y'all seeing this on the screen? I don't ever can't see if I'm.
We've got two
Okay.
pages.
There we go. Yep. All right. So we had at our annual training that was held ABC here this past month. We had Nathan Butler from USDOL Labor Standards come and attend the meeting. He is, basically the one that would be telling our employers that they're having young people do jobs they should not be doing. So we definitely wanted to have them there to inform everybody of what is allowed, what is not, and just kind of explain it. Also, now we have the contact. I've also sent that out to all the programs, so they have that contact information for him. If any of their employers or anything ever have any questions, they can always reach out to him. And talk with them. So one of the, I guess, the biggest takeaway here is, there's hazardous situations that a 16, 17-year-old should not be being involved with. With that, there are exceptions for those particular things that normally you would not be able to address. The requirement for that would be a student learner or a youth apprentice. With that, they provided us all this different information. So basically, all of our hazardous, it's not really occupations, guys, it's more working with specific pieces of equipment. With all of those, there are exceptions for all of those, for those youth apprentices, student learners. With that, they are exempt from that as far as not being able to do it at all. But the main thing here we should be taking in is, first of all, when we are talking about individuals doing that type of work, we first have this situation here. It tells us the terms are intermittent and short periods of time are usually what it says in relation to our exception for those particular pieces of equipment people are working with. They go here and say they are not defined by the regulations or anything, doesn't get in there specifically, but yet in the same document they also have basically what how they look at it. They are looking at it being more than one work hour in a day. That's more than intermittent, or more than 20% of the total time the person's working for their shift. So basically, hey, we shouldn't be having them go get a skill saw and just go at it for an hour straight. They're or a whole hog even, for example. They're looking at things that are cut and stuff like that. We're just trying to limit their amount of time when they're using those pieces of equipment, which of course hopefully will reduce any them from having any possible injuries with having to use it. But at least with the option of being able to let them do it some, we can at least be training them properly on it, which is what we should be doing, and how to use it and how not to get hurt when you're using it. The main takeaway that I took from this whole meeting is, when it comes to youth apprenticeship and people wanting to be an electrician or a plumber, for example, when they're 17 years old, they got half a day of school, they can go work. If they're in this one of these youth apprenticeship programs, they can do that. They can get OJT received. They are put into rapids just like any other apprentice. So they'll be able to get their license to make sure health and labor are satisfied for our plumbing and electrical license. All this can go ahead and happen. The main thing is, at that point, it's just going to be up to that employer making sure that they are not violating this particular law and then end up getting themselves in trouble with USDOL labor standards. So I think that's a big thing for us here. I know youth apprenticeship, hopefully we can start getting it built out. Wisconsin has been utilizing youth apprenticeship for years. I think I saw something. I want to say it was over 16,000 youth apprentices they have in the state of Wisconsin right now. And over 80, what I thought was really awesome, 80% of their schools have a youth apprenticeship program already connected to it. I mean, that's just amazing. Having that, that connection and already having that happen. We're getting those that youth, we're getting them involved in whatever they might want to do at a lot earlier age, letting them start work, letting them, make that money, which not only can benefit them, might also be one of those situations that it can totally benefit their family along the way. And that's what we would like to do. And that gets them that jump into that profession, and then also helps out our employers along the way. And as all of us plumbers and electricians are getting older, and we're having people quitting work, as far as for that reason, we need that youth, we need that new those that new blood, so to speak, to be coming into our occupations and being able to sustain us for the long haul, as we need more people here in the state to do that stuff. So I think that to me was really the biggest key takeaway in all of this, is that we can do this. But pre-apprenticeship guys, we're just talking about RTI hours only, period. Youth apprenticeship program, now we're getting into, they're going to be getting their RTI, and they can get OJT as well. So that's where, if we want to do something with OJT being involved, we're going to have to get that youth apprenticeship program added to your program. And then from there, we'll be going working those guys, getting them put into Rapids, getting their license, just like anywhere else. We just got to make sure our employers understand what can and cannot be done there. Hey, Kelly, I think you're muted. There you go.
Yeah, when you were referring to Wisconsin youth apprenticeship programs, you referred to schools. You're referring to high schools.
I think that is how most of theirs are set up, or through their actual high schools, is the way I was reading it. I don't know if Wisconsin has CTE centers like we do around the state. We got 31, 32 of them around, where we might have multiple high schools going to one location to receive those, different classes that they typically would not be receiving at a high school. And that, that's just where we'd also have to work with that connection on these CTE centers as well. Of course, with the Learns Act, one of the requirements for CTE programs in the state is to have at minimum one of the high demand occupations here in the state of Arkansas. So, of course, construction is part of that high demand area, along with numerous other ones. That would, knowing that, talking to these CTE centers, that would check their box on having to have that there at their, be providing that there at their CTE location.
Do you have a website or something that we could look up for this Wisconsin?
Yeah, I can. I'll send y'all the website.
Okay.
I'm sending that out there so y'all can take a look at it.
We would encourage everybody to look at their program, and maybe we can mirror some of the stuff and set up ours, or continue setting up ours, and really push this youth apprenticeship, because it's just like a pipeline into the skilled trades or apprentice programs that's already established. So if we can get that pipeline going, that would be great, I think.
Yep, after the meeting, guys, I'll send that link out to everyone.
Yeah, just put it in the minutes too, and it's good, great information. All right, anything else on agenda item number four? The labor standards, comments, questions. All right, number five, the combined general apprenticeship, electric, plumbing, and CT rules. That was also, I believe, sent out, looks like July 24th. So everybody should have a copy of the old and what we're going to now, the combined version that Derek has been working on.
All right. And we already reviewed these in our state plumbing apprenticeship committee this morning. So we had already made one notation change for that during this morning's conversation. So we'll kind of talk about that as we go through here. Now, first, y'all, I know all y'all are looking at this, and this is totally different format. By January 1, this is basically how all of the rules in the state of Arkansas are going to be required to look like. They're basically going to have it one big book, and everything's going to be in there outlined by the way you see this process right now. We had actually had these done last year at one point, and then I got the traditional apprenticeship or the regular registered apprenticeship rules general and the CT rules submitted sent back to us from BLR saying, hey, this is going to be the new format. So I thought, hey, let's go ahead and get them changed over and move them over to the new format if that's going to be it, because I didn't know when these things were finally going to be approved. They've been working on this process since from 2019. I just figured I would jump on it. And now I'm from what I'm hearing, I probably shouldn't have jumped as quick as I did, because I just thought whenever they sent them to us, they were already approved. Why would you send them to us? So they might end up having to go back to looking the way they originally did before we actually would try to get these all the way up the chain and go through the whole promulgation process. So I'll just kind of go down here through it. Of course, all this definition stuff here, this is pretty much just the same as we've always had in our regular apprenticeship rules. This first part is basically our general apprenticeship rules. Get me at there's somebody else. All right. So of course, like I said, we're just going through our definitions here. This is all pretty much all the same as we had before. Really, the only changes here, I did add a definition here for the Arkansas Certified Pre-Apprenticeship Program. Oh, and there's one more. There is another definition I added for the Arkansas.
Pre-apprenticeship.
So we got those definitions added. Like I said, not much changes here. Go down. We got our instructor qualifications. This is where we added some language earlier. So what we were looking at for licensed occupations, the instructor shall have a minimum of a journeyman's license in that occupation. That was how I had left it. We had some conversation this morning at the plumbing committee, and we thought it would be a good idea to go ahead and add this, or a subject matter expert who is recognized within industry as having expertise, which, those situations, they were thinking of, people that teach the OSHA 10, OSHA 30, all the, any kind of specialized things for the occupation, where maybe, at that point in time, we wouldn't really have maybe a electrician or a licensed plumber actually be able to teach that class, because they really don't have, don't have certificates and so forth. So we had added this language in there to take care of those scenarios when we would have somebody in there doing that, providing some type of specialized training with in the expertise that normally a electrician or a plumber might not have. But because my thinking is, if we got a licensed journeyman in there, they should be able to teach an apprentice basically anything that has to do with your normal standards of apprenticeship, besides probably the OSHA 10, OSHA 30 stuff. So we have that. Anybody have any issue with that change or modification?
No, I think it's good. We might need to put in not just occupation, but or related subject matter. I know we get into math sometimes, bringing somebody in to do special stuff in and math as far as it relates to the plumbing code and sizing gas pipe and stuff like that. I don't know how to word that, but
My thought there is, Kelly, don't we have a problem if we got a journeyman or a master who can't teach that? That's just was my mindset when I was thinking about this. Mm-hmm. If we got a licensed journeyman or a master and they can't teach the math to be able to do what needs needed in the trade, my question is, why are they teaching apprenticeship?
True, but they might need some help. And also, if we ever get adult ed involved in this game plan, having people with English or math problems, would we not want that to be covered as part of the curriculum for extra?
I mean, we got our standards that y'all are supposed to be applying to.
Pardon me?
Our RTI outline in your standards.
Yes.
That's how our apprenticeship model is set up. I mean, yes, that's awesome. But that to me is additional things outside of our standard apprenticeship program standards that they should be already teaching.
Okay. All right.
That's just how I would think of that. I mean, it's great.
Journeyman or master can't speak English. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Or can't teach math or a complicated math or something like that. So I'm not saying that.
One of the things that I think about when you're talking about that, Kelly, is it might be, Derek, maybe the pedagogy that they might be lacking to be able to provide the, you know, the instruction. Maybe a student struggling with that, it just might give you a door to say, hey, if I'm having trouble getting this across, there might be someone that's an expert in that particular area that might could help me with this person. Am I understanding that, Kelly?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
I think it's good to give yourself some leeway because it seems like there are some young people limited because they struggle in these areas. Then they get into the programs and maybe just having an expert in maybe remediation in that, in the pedagogy that they could bring to that maybe a journeyman might not have, but he totally has the ability to do it. He just might not have the ability to help with that remediation. Just a thought.
So with y'all saying that, what would be your thoughts on how we would word that?
That is true.
I mean, because guys, think about it here, just so y'all know where I'm going. I'm going licensed trades. In my whole career, being an electrician, going through apprenticeship, I never had anybody come in my class and teach me other than a licensed journeyman or master. That's just how it was. Never saw it.
Can I throw something in here?
Sure.
I get it. I get what we're trying. And I come being a tradesman from way back and then spending 20 years in that realm. I really don't denigrate from what you've written. I might change a little semantically, but when you say, or be a subject matter expert recognized within an industry, maybe we could just change that where it specifically addresses recognized within an industry or be a curriculum specialist. Now, Dr. Riggins, this may be where we could word something he's already got here, just changing two or three words. I think the intent's already there. Derek's intent's already there. A math specialist or an English specialist is a subject matter expert, and I think that sentence would cover us, don't you, Derek? I think semantically, we just make sure that we could say a subject matter or curriculum expert recognized within their field instead of industry.
Guys, this is Stephanie, the director of OSD. I think what Derek is saying is that within the standards, and I understand subject matter experts, but within the standards, we're not teaching English or, you know, traditional. So I would be careful in going down this road. And I don't want to overcomplicate it either. So that would be my only, I just want to say that. I want to back up what Derek was saying. Within the standards, we're not teaching traditional, like what a curriculum specialist would be teaching, even though they're definitely a curriculum expert.
Stephanie, I'm glad you chimed in, because my question in this, in making sure that we don't hamstring anyone. Don't we have some adult education programs that are actually, they're partnering, they're doing some things together, and I want to make sure somebody doesn't come back and say, oh, we can't partner anymore because blah blah blah. We do have some adult ed programs that are partnering out there that are using their English specialists or their math specialists to teach certain things within our programs. I just
But
want
is
to
it
make sure
within the
there are
100?
wording in here. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Is it within the 144 hours per year of RTI, or is it like prerequisites and getting people ready to go to be employed and become an apprentice? And I'm asking because I don't know.
I think that I've seen these partnerships within RTI, but you jumped a little bit beyond me. I believe still yet, I would hate to see us write something into a code, a regulation code that hamstrings partnership. That's the only thing. And I think it would be easy to make sure that we don't within. I mean, I don't necessarily dislike what Derek has written. I think a subject matter expert, and it's clear that that's even if we bring in a math specialist to teach the math in that area, it's covered. But that would be my only concern is we don't hamstring our partnerships by putting something in there that says, oh, you can't do that.
I think when he says or be a subject matter, when I look at that, I don't have a problem with that either. I mean,
Me too.
in my
I
mind,
really like
and
that.
I might just not know, but I'm thinking that gives them the leeway if they need some help to bring someone in.
Yeah.
Is that
The
that's all I think is needed.
only thing that I would add to that in reading it over, I've tried to read it about 9 or 10 times while we're talking, is that if you made that say, or be a subject matter expert who is recognized within an industry as having expertise in a specific occupation or curriculum. I don't now, Dr. Riggins, is curriculum the right word to stick in there? Specific occupation or
I
could.
don't really see that it has to be. I mean,
Okay.
because I think what they're talking, he talks about subject matter. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
But I do
Yeah.
think they ought to have some leeway to bring someone in if they need help.
Hey, Derek.
That's my point. I want to make sure that we don't hamstring our partnerships by saying you can't have anybody in there besides an electrician. Those subject matter experts can be our math specialists. They can be our English specialists that are coming from adult ed or any other program to support one another. I like the way it's worded. If we changed anything, it might be just one word.
And Derek, I want to chime in real quick. So we used to have a lady that was a math teacher in the Pulaski County Special School District. She had been a math teacher for 30 years. And so some of our level ones would come in and struggle with math. So she would come in for the first hour of the apprenticeship class, and all she was teaching was math, fraction, stuff like that. So I would feel like she's a subject matter expert. Again, she's a math teacher that's been a teacher for 30 years. Would she be okay under that wording that you have there?
I mean, I would assume so, but like I said, guys, my thinking here, and I see where y'all are going. I know
That's a
we're
good
trying to help
specific
these.
question. That's a great specific question.
I mean, just from my mindset is, yeah, I mean, makes sense, but y'all got to remember, we're talking about apprenticeship standards and RTI hours. That's what a program is supposed to be teaching. That
There.
is what USDOL requirements are. So my thought would be, we should be teaching that. Now, some of these things to me, that extra help, that's great, but it's not really part of their standards. Getting into that, it's just where my mind goes, is thinking, hey, this is how, we should be following these. Well, for teaching these other things, just basic math and all that, yeah, that's great. Some people probably need it, but it's not really technically a part of our standards,
Okay.
that any of that I've seen. That's just where my mind's
I
thinking at,
understand.
guys.
I understand what you're saying now, Derek, that the standards, you probably shouldn't have to have it. But I guess my thought was, I keep hearing there are young people that come in that are not able to be successful because they don't have enough skills. So I was thinking that was part, but didn't think about the standards part. So I understand what you're saying, but I don't have a problem with the way it's worded.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea that if there's someone there that just needs some extra help that would keep them in the program and help them be successful as a worker, it would be great to be able to bring someone as subject matter to, even if it's, you know, but I understand what you're saying. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Hey, one example that comes to mind, and I think this highlighted sentence covers it, but I just want to make sure, for example, in our standards, you know, where we have CPR and first aid training, you know, we bring in a trainer for CPR, that under this, they would still be able to do that and not might have to have the journeyman teach it, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, this discussion this morning was related to what, OSHA 10, I believe, was an example.
Yeah. Yeah. And all that makes sense to me, guys, because, you know, a journeyman or a master is not going to be necessarily certified to teach those type of classes. You know, yeah, we went through them, but that was about the extent of it. You know, so I totally get all that. You know, that definitely makes sense.
And, you know, a subject matter expert, you know, before we put this sentence in this morning, you know, I was thinking about state plumbing inspectors, city inspectors, you know, bringing those in and how it relates to the curriculum and stuff like that. We do that from time to time. So with this sentence, it kind of makes sense that we can do that now or log that time. So I'm good with the sentence. I think it'll cover everything, I believe, that I can think of. Everybody good now?
None.
All right, let's move on.
So terms of apprenticeship agreement, all this stuff is the same as we had in our rules. You see, I kind of noted something here. I was trying to also keep up, like, hey, these are going to change because of the way things were getting moved around here and there, shuffled. These things are going to change along the way. So other than that, all this stuff, pretty sure was already in there for our working conditions and safety. All right. So, of course, here our related instruction, just our basic minimum here for standards of apprenticeship will be required. Of course, I know USDOL had some things out there in the past a long time ago that might not be 144, but that's all going to be changing to where that has to be a minimum. So no need to change anything here. I had this here. Now, this was, again, hey, I just, you know, see four related instruction requirements for electrical and plumbing. I was going to actually have it directed right to the location in this document, but until they redo the numbers and so forth, I don't know what to put there. So with that way, as you're reading through, you got, okay, for that, I need to jump down here. So just had that note in there for myself as we go along. Here's our duties for our program sponsor or local apprenticeship committee. All this stuff is went basically the following 1, 2, and 3 apply only when the local committee is present. Other than that, all other things, you know, are applying normally to the sponsor's requirements. Nothing's there changed, of course, there. Another thing I was just going to point out here, you know, of course, normal apprenticeship related activities, 45 days is how long, you know, the time frame there. When we start getting into our plumbing and our electrical rules, they require 30 days. So I was just going to kind of, you know, have something here or in these actions, just kind of listing out all those processes, the new apprentice, you know, cancellation, completion, all that type of stuff, have, you know, that we had already kind of defined previously in our guidelines, just kind of took that, and that's where I was going to have this getting directed to. But again, just having to get that stuff, numbers and stuff corrected, make sure how BALR is going to end up looking at it and modifying it, and then we can see what to go from there. So I had this note for our traditional apprenticeship funding. More I think about it, I think we pretty much got it there, just kind of our basic outline of our eligibility, how we look at our TA funding, how we base that off of, based off of what we've already done in years past. And then I just wanted to make sure, like right here, number five, well, 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, number five, just wanted to give us something there in case we change something in our funding guidelines one year that requires something other than this, that in the way we're looking at it, that, they can always be directed to the funding guidelines too, just to verify how everything's going to be reviewed during the application process. All right. All this went ahead and just kind of added in our whole process here for that 15% administrative at the end of the year when funds are left over, like we did this year, just kind of getting all that put in here, black and white, and just kind of having it all connected here so we know how that process goes, what is or what is not available for that admin expense. Of course, we already added this basically to our guidelines this year. I put it in our rules here about all programs approved for funding shall be required to submit apprentice-related information to the Arkansas Apprenticeship Portal. Information required is outlined in the MOU entered into by the program and OSD, and then just went ahead and gave some basic examples of all what is already required. That these are already basically already lined out in our guidelines, and also with our MOU as well. So just trying to get all that stuff put in there and having that done. Of course, I figured this is probably going to change when we do our they redo everything with where this is actually at for that employer list to be submitted. And by the way, when people are sending those in that I've already been getting in, for y'all's already using the system, as soon as they come in, that employer list, I go ahead and try to upload it into the system. That way, if there's anyone that I don't already have in there, they're in there now. And then, they'll be good. I'll still, of course, keeping those lists, but I'm using that also to make sure I have all the employers currently in for that particular program. So that's been working good. Had a few here and there so far that I've done. So most of all the employers have been in there except for maybe two or three. So that's been good. All right. Heath keeps going back and forth. of course, all the this is just basically the same as it's always been in our rules here. None of this stuff here changed. So that was our general apprenticeship rules. So what I've done here is I got our general apprenticeship rules first. Then I have a section dedicated to plumbing. Then I have a section dedicated to electrical. Then I have a section dedicated to where it complies from both. Because when I'm looking at my plumbing and electrical rules, guys, there's a lot of stuff that's not the same, and there's a lot of stuff that is the same. So that's where I'm trying to remove this duplication. And also, so you know, previously, guys, there was over 40 plus pages for all these rules. Now we're down to 21. So just trying to remove a lot of that as well along the way. Now this I already had noted on what I sent to you. We had this in there from the old plumbing rules. Talking with Renee earlier this morning, she was on our state plumbing call. She said this would not be required, so we'll probably just get that removed. I look at it, if we don't need it, why have it in there? Just gives more stuff to have to look at for nothing. So just trying to clarify it. Of course, here's just a change. Here I got the definitions as they apply to plumbing apprenticeship. That's what I got here. Then, of course, we come down to another code thing. These are all just your basic stuff that's already in your plumbing rules. So this is kind of one of the things here. We got, course, experience credit. Now, we will have this both in plumbing and electrical. So, basically in these cases where a person has attended a pre-apprenticeship program or a college vocational program, want to be able to at least provide them their RTI that they received. I do not see a point in having somebody who's already went to pre-apprenticeship or already been doing some college or vocational classes somewhere else, maybe in another state, and they want to come here and they want to be an electrician or a plumber. Why make them go sit through the same thing they've already accomplished? So in these cases, we could grant 4 RTI hours only. They would still be required to take care of their OJT, 8,000 hours. But if they've already done some of this RTI previously, we don't want to have them go and do it all again. So wanted to be able to give these people the opportunity to use some of that training they had previously. Now, of course, as you see, where classes taken match up with the program's related technical instruction. Whatever, there, guys, I would expect to see a program that would be wanting to accept somebody like that would go through, review their pre-apprenticeship training, review their college or vocational transcript, and then we're just matching up what's already in our already approved USDOL standards for our RTI. And then, if all this matches up, then we can go ahead and give them so much classroom hours from the start of their apprenticeship. They would just be needing to, complete their OJT. So have that there. And then also had added this statement in here. We had some conversations about this one this morning. See what y'all think. I noted in here only RTI received at an Arkansas certified pre-apprenticeship program will apply. So with our Arkansas certified pre-apprenticeship that we started rolling out in January, our main process there is we have MOU, basically have an application signed off by the pre-apprenticeship training provider. Now, that could be ABC. They might be coming to their class, for example, on nights. All right. They could be getting that classroom training there, or they could be getting the classroom training at the CTE center or the high school. Maybe they have some type of pre-apprenticeship course going on. But even if that was the case, we would have that at that point, we would have a signature by that pre-apprenticeship training provider, say the high school. Then we would have it signed off, let's just say, by ABC. They're saying they're going to accept those hours, and they're going to already be noting how many hours that they are going to be accepting. So this apprentice already, or this person taking this pre-apprenticeship class, knows when he signs up for that program what he's going to be able to get out of there with at the end. All right. And we already have an apprenticeship program that's already saying, hey, I will take this. I will accept it. The other third part of our pre-apprenticeship Arkansas certified pre-apprenticeship program would be we would also need at least one minimum, hopefully more, employers signing off on this training as well. We don't want a person that went through that training to go to an apprenticeship program. Maybe the apprenticeship program accepts it, but then when they go and start wanting to talk to this employer, that employer don't want to have nothing to do with it, and they still want them to go through 4 years of classroom training, the 640 hours, for example, for plumbing, or the 576 for electricians. So we at least, they would already know, hey, this, this program will accept you. This employer will accept your training. Now, they don't have to hire, of course, but they would accept it. So somebody that went through it, we don't want people to end up going through this whole process, guys, and then get to the end and not have no program that will accept it, and not have no employer that will accept it either. Because at that point, the person just totally wasted their time trying to get that training and hoping that it would help them in there. I mean, if we can get these individuals started younger, as we've already been talking about with this USDOL information earlier for labor standards, I want to be able to get this, make sure they don't lose anything that they've doing. And that's the thing with this process. We would at least, that pre-apprentice would already know how many hours they're receiving, what program would accept it, and what possible employer would possibly hire them and accept their training that they already had. Because we had one of the main reasons we done all this to beginning, everybody, is because we had already been hearing issues where we had apprentices getting left out in the cold because either we had a program that wouldn't accept it or we had an employers that wouldn't accept it. And at that point, the apprentices are not, or those people are not very happy. Also mamas are not very happy in those situations. So, but like I said, that's, as far as this thing, main thing here, want to be able to provide them the RTI if they received it in a pre-apprenticeship program or a college or vocational program for the classroom aspect, and would like to see that the only ones that we would receive, only ones that we would approve would be some that are already Arkansas certified pre-apprenticeship programs. What are y'all's thoughts on this?
I've got a couple questions.
Okay.
For example, I know in ours we've got an interim credential program that's part of our standards, and we have that around the country. So it's the same curriculum in high school if they take it in Tennessee or Missouri or Oklahoma as it is here in Arkansas. And I assume that some of the ABC programs and have the same. I don't know that, but So if they had it, say, right across the river in Tennessee, same DOL approved standard, same curriculum, and they passed it and happened to move over into Arkansas, it wouldn't be recognized as far as related classroom training under this sentence.
Yeah, I mean, you do bring up a good point with out-of-state situations.
I mean, I don't think it happened a lot, but it definitely could happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, one of my thoughts is, now, David, would you be saying that, just trying to get my head wrapped, would you be saying that they would like complete it over in like Tennessee or whatever, and then all of a sudden now we're moving over to Arkansas prior to actually getting in one of y'all's programs somewhere?
Right.
And getting into it here?
They would complete it. They would complete it in their, 11th, 12th grade year in high school, and then say their family moves or whatever happens, they decide to move here for work or whatever. It's approved DOL standards that transfers with them, but this sentence would keep them from getting credit for it. Bill, do y'all have around the country different, or does anybody have any similar programs that normally would transfer that this would prohibit?
David, I'm sure there is. I don't know of any right offhand, but I mean, just listening to you thinking about it, I mean, if it's something, that if we can get proof from the high school, I don't see why we wouldn't allow it if we can get documentation, of it. But to directly answer your question, I don't know of any, David. I'm sure there is, though.
That'd be my only concern with it that pops up in my mind, Derek.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I mean, we reciprocate license with certain states. If they get a DOL certificate, we recognize it here. So that's the only thing that pops in my mind.
And guys, also when we're thinking about this, just in general, USDOL has not ever messed with the pre-apprenticeship component. Now, if they ever get those new CFR rules approved, which still have not been done yet, there is a pre-apprenticeship component in the new rules, but they haven't been approved yet. So we were kind of ahead of that game, so to speak. So that makes sense, David, on that. If it was an out-of-state entity. The main thing here, guys, I was trying to accomplish mainly thinking of really just Arkansas was really all I was thinking of, guys, in this when I wrote this up, because we've seen issues already where apprentices are getting hung out to dry at the end because nobody would do it or accept it. So I just thinking this might be a good process to make sure that, hey, there is somebody that would be on board with accepting it. I don't, didn't want to sit there and go and put it out there yet, you know, that all apprenticeship programs have to accept. That's another thing, guys. I didn't want to go out here and say, hey, every program, sorry, no matter what, if somebody goes to this training, you have to accept it. I don't want to say that, you know, as far as, you know, talking to our programs and stuff like that. I didn't want to, you know, just say, hey, y'all don't have a choice. It don't matter if they took this in Texarkana or they took this up there in, you know, in Cabot. Don't matter. You have to accept it no matter where at in the state. And we hadn't, you know, don't want to have to get to where we have to say that. Don't want to have to say that. Want to let everybody operate as they need to and accept what they think they need to accept. But, you know, part of this process would be they would have already made all those decisions. But, you know, I totally see what David's saying, where I could see where that might end up, you know, handcuffing somebody from an out-of-state pre-apprenticeship program, possibly.
Yeah,
well,
I
think, in my opinion, I think that, Derek, what you're doing is you're preloading the if we're going to partner with another program, that preloads the expectation. Partner, they need to be. We need to make sure that they're covering the bases. At least that's a bare minimum, right, Derek?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of what I've been hearing,
somebody, they need to meet our expectations.
Yeah. You know, most of what I've been hearing, guys, when we're thinking of this pre-apprenticeship, we're talking about, you know, kind of like that core curriculum, that basic safety stuff, the thing, you know, all these programs utilize and have to usually comply with and go through all these basics. Most of the time we're, you know, we're usually only thinking of probably, you know, maybe 6 months, maybe a year, typically in those scenarios. You know, not to say there might not be some more because, you know, there's USDOL doesn't, I don't think, really has any issue with, you know, of course, obviously, with, you know, preloading any of that RTI as well. So, you know, so that was, like I said, I was just looking at trying to cover our individuals that have went through it and done it here in the state of Arkansas. And that's the ones I was worried about mainly when I was writing this. But I can, like I said, I see what David's saying on out-of-state situations. Because at that point, they would not be an Arkansas certified pre-apprenticeship program. Now, you know, one thing to think about it, David, if we, for example, I'm just sitting here throwing this out here, if we, you know, if we had your local program here in the state of Arkansas somehow being approved already, then maybe something could work there. But that might not always be the case. So.
Okay.
You know, guys, I know this was all new, of course, back in January. We just started trying to get this out there and push it. You know, so I just thought, hey, while we're in the process of redoing these, let's try to address this one situation that we've already been running into. With, you know, I don't want anybody to go through some classroom training and thinking they're going to get all this, and then they get out and find out that they don't have it, and that's already been happening. So all the way from programs not accepting it to employers not wanting to hire them and or not wanting to accept it when they get hired. It's already been going on. So that's what I was hoping to try to alleviate there.
I'm 100% for preloading that expectation, Derek.
Okay. Good. Great discussion. Yeah, we need to think about that statement for the way it's wrote today, or no more language in it than it is today. You know, if Wisconsin, you know, has a great program and the kid's parents relocate to Arkansas and he's done all this pre-apprenticeship, youth apprenticeship in the state of Wisconsin, he could not get credit. He or she could not get credit in the state of Arkansas the way that is wrote up. is the way I'm reading it.
Yeah, I mean, technically, I agree with you, Kelly. That was with the way it's written right here. I do agree with you. That is how how it would look.
Yeah, and I, you know, if they've had it once, they don't need it twice. You know, give them credit for credit is due. So I totally agree to that. Okay, well let's think about that. All right, let's move on, please.
Down here, this G, just try to clarify with what we were already talking about, having some RTI done prior to and so forth. Just wanted to clarify in this section that, you know, if a person could receive related classroom instruction through a pre-apprenticeship program prior to attending a registered apprenticeship program, hereby reducing the amount of time that would be completed concurrently. You know, of course, concurrently, most people think your OJT, your RTI, all has to happen at the same time, you know, that four-year window. But if we're wanting to allow people to receive pre-apprenticeship credit, it's not all going to be happening concurrently. So I just wanted to make sure we clarified that it might not always be the case. At least give us that wiggle room that when that does happen, we understand that, yeah, they might not be getting all 4 years of OJT and RTI during the same time frame. They might be getting some RTI before they start. Then they get in the program and then they just finish their RTI and then finally finish their 8,000 hours typically in 4 year period. But they might have some preloaded RTI there going on. And we definitely don't want to keep nobody from trying to accomplish that. If they want to show that initiative, anybody have any issues with that? All right. So all this stuff has been.
It could happen in a, you know, it hadn't in a while, you know, the cycle we've been in, but it could happen in a slow economy too, where you're going to school and don't have work for a few months. So.
Right. You know, we understand things like that happen. And we don't want to knock them down and keep them from that as they're going through the process. So here, this is just kind of our, the release to test stuff that was in there. Just kind of outline this process a little bit better so everybody understood the process of how that happens, for, you know, testing, how it goes, sending the notice to OSD, we sign it, we send it back to the sponsor, and then they provide that, you know, with their examination. All right. We got that. Now, related classroom instruction. This was kind of where I was telling y'all guys I was wanting to kind of have it rung down to the right section from up above. This is where I was wanting it to be coming to. In here, went ahead and put the actual name of the occupation, USDOL occupation, here in this program. That, you know, they require up to 640 hours of RTI. And then in conversations with U.S. or Arkansas Department of Health, they were, you know, they have always been okay with being able to provide up to half of the RTI hours via correspondence work. As of right now, which kind of right now, we did have a program last year that got approved through USDOL after me talking with Rick and everything, and they were doing it 50-50. They're doing half of it in class, half of it in a correspondence type situation. So that was what they did. USDOL approved it. Now at that point, that was North Central Arkansas Plumbing up there in Mountain Home. Of course, they have shut their doors at this point, and ASU Mountain Home is looking to get approved as a plumbing program and take over basically that school's people and everything up there to still have a program up there. So I just wanted to, you know, kind of clarify some of these things in our rules when we know that's how they've always been. so to speak, and you know what we expect going forward. Just wanted to make sure it was clarified, and kind of, you know, David, what you alluded to, this has always been in here. Apprentice shall all also take advantage of provided instruction and recognize apprenticeship classes during periods of temporary unemployment. You know, we've always had that in there. Usually what I try to tell people is, you know, according to our rules, we got 30 days. So, you know, John comes to you here today, August 1st. He said, man, I lost my job. You say, all right, John, I got 30 days before I got to notify anybody. So you go ahead, keep coming to school, and let's see if we can get you employed before the end of August. That way we can, you know, we just keep you going. So we got that in there, or it's that part had always been in there. So just kind of clarifying that. Some people say plumbing schedule of work experience, both in the electrical and the plumbing. We always had this big, basically OJT outline of what we expect for plumbing and electrical programs. And USDOL had not been approving programs all at that same set of RT or OJT standards. So at that point, I was thinking, why do we even have it in here then? So I removed it and just put all work done by an apprentice as prescribed training shall conform in every respect with the requirements of the state and local plumbing codes. And two, main thing here, compliance with the program's USDOL OA standards of apprenticeship must be followed. So, you know, OJT, what are you supposed to do? You should be following your standards in your program and also making sure you're keeping Arkansas Department of Health and so forth happy with what's going on there. Looking at the State Plumbing Apprenticeship Committee, we did make some things here, changes. You know, our rules there were set up where we had to meet at least every other month. I've changed that to say, hey, we hold meetings monthly if there are items that need to discussion or approval from the committee. You know, I wanted to eliminate those meetings that we were having to have just because even though we didn't have any new items to discuss, no experience credit, okay, we don't have things to discuss. So why bother waste all of our time and have a meeting when we don't have to? That's what that change is in there for. Now, of course, the chairperson could always call a special meeting if necessary, you know, something happens, comes up. So, but just wanted to get us off of that. We have to have a meeting at least every 2 months, no matter what. So, I mean, if we don't have nothing to talk about, it's just a waste of all of our time. So, four section changes here. It's just the duties of the local apprenticeship committee for USD or for Department of Health and plumbing programs. All that's the same. One thing here, this is added in the plumbing and electrical. If these rules are not followed, OSDOA, in consultation with the State Plumbing Apprenticeship Committee, or state electrical in that one, we will contact the Arkansas Department of Health and have them hold that program's ability to register new apprentices, renew licenses, and have their apprentices approved for tests until all rules are being met. We don't have no teeth in our rules anywhere, guys. All we can do is pull funding, and we've already done that, but that's great. They don't get no funding, but if the program continues on and is still not doing what they're supposed to, maybe they're not getting their apprentices license like they're supposed to. Maybe they're not sending in the hour reports like they're supposed to, which I've already been dealing with all that since I've been here. The one who ends up getting hurt here is the apprentice. Okay. So, they're the ones who get met, you know, we're getting hurt in the end. So, I wanted to put us some rules, some teeth in here, so to speak. So if we run into that situation, maybe by being able to do something like that, we can get that program to get in compliance. That way we're not hurting those apprentices that are going to that particular apprenticeship program. So what are anybody have any thoughts on that? I know that's kind of a, like I said, some teeth there. So never had anything but like that before. All right. So I would assume right here, same thing. Probably could end up removing this after a discussion earlier with Renee. You can take that off. Here's where I got our basic definitions as they apply to the electrician trade. All that stuff's the same. As far as all this stuff, none of these things have changed at all. Same thing here, added, allowing, notifying that they could, get some pre-apprenticeship training, therefore the hours would not be completed concurrently. Just kind of, like I said, making some clarification on that. All right, here, like I said, just kind of clarify the process, how that goes, for testing. Got our experience credit section in here. Like I said, same thing as what we have in the plumbing. And like I said, we have that C down there, just like we had for the plumbing, about it being only received at an Arkansas certified pre-apprenticeship program. All the rest of this is the same. I have noted here, the things about the proper occupation. Titled occupation program that a person should be going for related classroom instruction for electrician. Also notes how many hours there. There is one thing, guys. I'm going to have to make one little caveat right here on this, and that is mainly because we do have residential wireman programs out there. There's only one currently in the state. But I just talked to another program here late last week, and they are now thinking about us also adding that to their program. Of course, we all know, electrician can be a residential journeyman. So therefore, for example, the one program that does have it is NWAC or WAP up in Northwest Arkansas. Of course, in that area, I'm sure y'all all know there's houses going up all over the place. So they have companies up there that just really do nothing more than residential, and they have people that go attend the apprenticeship program, and then after 2 years, that's all they want to get. They just want to get the residential journeymans, and then they leave school. Well, when they leave school, they're in a 4-year program, so they therefore have to cancel those apprentices. They can't complete them because they didn't complete a 4-year program, so they have to cancel them. So what they started doing to help with their completion percentage is adding the residential wireman program. That allows them to complete those individuals after 2 years. So, and then if they ever want to come back, they can, or they decide at that point they want to continue going, they just, at that point, they're just moved right over into your standard 4-year program with the 2 years experience coming into it. I know that program says they try to talk to all the apprentices when they start their first year to try to get some clarification on for sure what path they're wanting to go. But as y'all all know, there's people make changes along the way. Some of them stay with the 2 year and they're done. Well, that's great. They can complete them and move on. But you also have some of those that do that, get to the end, like, I think I want to go a little bit farther. So, and then they have to change. But at least that way, that does give them the ability to technically complete them for their residential journeyman's license. So I was going to add or other approved program. I figure that kind of takes care of that for the residential wireman program. That would be the only other one really I would ever probably consider anyway for that. All the rest, this is the same schedule of work experience. Same thing as we had in the electrical. We had this whole OJT outline that not all programs are even currently under with their standards right now. So it doesn't make no sense to have that actually be laid out in our rules. So we switched over and just took it out and just put compliance with the program's USDOL approved standards. State Electrical Apprenticeship Committee stuff, all this stuff is the same. I did, as I said, kind of modify that, hold meetings monthly, and then with the option to cancel if need be whenever. So that way, if we're not having to, we don't have anything to talk about, which electrical is one of those ones I seem to have almost every month we have experience credit. Don't even have very many opportunities to not have that meeting in the first place, but just wanted to have the opportunity if we needed to. Of course, working with our sections here that I was talking about, this is all their main duties of their local program sponsors. Nothing here has changed as far as how they what they are required to do. Then I had the same thing down here for the, you know, if we got an issue with the electrical program, we can work with labor and licensing. You know, and guys, so y'all know, I mean, I talked, you know, provided all these to electrical and to health or in plumbing and had labor and health all look at these, went over, sat down, talked to them, went through the whole process with them, made sure they were good with everything. Before we even move it any farther. Now this section is one of those ones where I told you I was combining everything that was in the plumbing and the electrical rules. There's not a whole lot here, but there is some things. Of course, the probationary periods, hours of work and safety conditions, procedures for disciplinary action, all these things. And then of course, you know, talking about the appeal process for experience credit, training standard interpretations, et cetera. That I just got everything put in one section that applied to both instead of having this all duplicated again for the section again. Here's where I added the information for the Arkansas Certified Pre-Apprenticeship. Most of this information I actually took between with our pamphlet that we already had created for this, and we went through, reviewed it, and just made sure everything is the way we wanted it. So that this just lines out the whole process for the Arkansas Certified Pre-Apprenticeship. Of course, we got our main general information about it. We got our eligibility, who is eligible. Here's our certification criteria. Of course, so y'all know, anybody that's state-approved Arkansas apprenticeship program, there's always opportunity to receive some funding there. Kind of like I said, this has some of those key things I was telling y'all about. You know, the amount of credit toward their registered apprenticeship program will be mutually agreed upon by the pre-apprenticeship program and the participating sponsors and employers. Kind of going back up here to the top. Training must be aligned with the registered apprenticeship program and agreed upon by the partnering employer or employers, training provider, and the sponsor. You got to have a signed document for all of them. We also, in these situations, guys, we want to see, for example, somebody's working with John's Electric, and they are connected to this Arkansas Certified Pre-Apprenticeship. One of our questions is going to be, all right, what type of exposure do you have with that program? to those apprentices? Are you going and meeting with them? Are they coming out to a job site, maybe seeing kind of basics of what you do, not working, but just coming and being able to view it and see how, see what it's all about. We want those employers and those pre-apprentices already starting to try to get some connections. So, which is, should help down the road. Of course, here's a certification process. Course AB, AACSE will be notified of all applications approved or disapproved for this. So we have that section. Then we finalize it here with our construction CT, Construction Industry Craft Train Trust Fund. That document been around since 1999. Don't know how long it's been since it was actually fully, so to speak, used and, you know, everything being done according to it. So basically what I did is I took what we needed to out of there, got it back to the process that we are currently doing right now. And then, you know, other than that, just redlining, so to speak, all the rest of it. Just kind of getting everything clarified here. You know, guidelines, OSD in consultation with AACSE will develop fiscal year CT guidelines. They include available amounts, items able to receive reimbursement for, percentages. Program sponsors wishing to receive shall meet the following criteria. They must be performing actual work in the state of Arkansas. Training must take place in the state of Arkansas or have OSDOA and AACSE prior approval for out-of-state training. Currently sponsoring a training, apprenticeship, or educational program approved by OSD and or USDOL. Upon meeting all the above criteria, of course, you're judged on your application. All this stuff was just what was already in there. Other information, items allowed, and the percentage is all found in the funding guidelines. We'll set those prior to August every year. Basic requirements for equipment purchases are below and other requirements noted in the guidelines. Now, like I said, I based this stuff based off of how we are doing it now. There's a lot of other things in those, in that rule that was there that was not being done that way anymore. Just try to get this, like I said, put back into the process that we actually have now. Final thing here, after what we more than likely, I'd assume most all that could probably go away right here too. And that is it, ladies and gentlemen.
Good job.
So after hearing everybody, it sounds like our biggest issue here really is this right here.
Yeah, probably is. And I think it's great work, Derek. I agree that the document or documents need to be, you know, in one document, under one roof. I think that's a very good idea. So I appreciate all the work you've done in getting us to this point. What is the timeline on this? I mean, I know it's an action item today, but what is the timeline going forward?
So my understanding... let the plumbing look at it this morning. I'm going to, you know, have the same conversation I have with plumbing tomorrow with our electrical. Let them all kind of look over it. Of course, like I said, already been talking with labor and health. So they've already seen this. I've already talked with them. And then from there, I know our career and workforce development board will be reviewing it, I think, next week.
The week after next, our board will approve this and we'll move forward.
Okay. So, so we'll get that, that addressed. And then from there, you know, then we just got to go through the standard process then. So of course you hope it takes really quick, don't take much time, but then we also know how some of those things how sometimes it gets held up here or there along the way. Rather, they're, you know, maybe we're waiting for approval from Commerce Edge, or maybe we're waiting approval from the governor's office. So, you know, things like that at that point can really slow down. And we got to get all the way to the governor's office and get their approval prior to even starting the 30-day public comment period. We would have to get all the way to there. Now, like I said, we'd hope to do it sooner rather than later, of course. So.
Okay. Well, Stephanie, you said your board's going to look over this and review it for review next week?
Week after next.
Week after. It's on August the 13th.
Okay. And this board got this 5 days ago?
Do what?
I'm just looking at when I received this document.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay.
Stephanie, what is, with what you were hearing, with what their thoughts were, what do you think about this only RTI received at the Arkansas Certified Pre-Apprenticeship Program will apply?
My only question would be, what other states have certified pre-apprenticeship? I don't know if any do. Certainly, we could move forward because in the public, in the 30-day public comment, we could address this, you know, if we know of specific, certified pre-apprenticeship programs that exist around us. In talking to DOL, and I mean, I'm not seeing a lot of certified pre-apprenticeships. So, I would say let's move forward and we can cross that bridge if and when we come to it.
Okay, this is an action item. We have reviewed the document. We have voiced our concerns and made comments. Great discussion on the document, I think, from everyone. So what is your pleasure?
I move to approve as presented.
Second by Ed.
We have a motion and a second to approve the document, I'll say, as presented. Do we have any other discussion?
The only question I've got is on that one issue. How would we cross that bridge if we come to it, if this is in the rules?
Well, I would say when we come to that public comment period, then that's where, you know, somebody would be able to, you know, voice their opinion about that. And then that's where, you know, maybe with us and them, and see what the governor's office thinks at that point in time too, see how they would like to address it.
And you know. Derek and I have the opportunity. We're going to go to an apprenticeship conference the end of this month. And at that time, we'll have the opportunity to talk to Tennessee and Alabama and Mississippi and some of the other states around us. And we can just explore if they have a certified state pre-apprenticeship.
If you're going out and selling, like we do, standards that are approved and transferable that go with you, if you get this certificate, I'd like to see us consider that and as we go forward. And if we wait till the public comment period, we can chime in on that then. But it's mm-hmm. hard to go out and tell people, hey, you've got these DOL proof standards are transferable wherever you go, and then you can't transfer a piece of it. So,
and remember, pre-apprenticeship, USDOL doesn't oversee it all, period. Don't have nothing to do with it.
So I would suggest you guys reach out to your partners other states and see if there's a certified state pre-apprenticeship. Because to Derek's point, Department of Labor does not recognize pre-apprenticeship or have standards, I should say. They recognize it, of course.
Well, these are in our, and I'm not trying to get us off track here. I'm ready to go on, but these are in our standards across the country. So, and they may be in other nationwide standards. So,
it is
there in every state. So,
yeah.
And Derek and I will visit with the other states the end of this month. So we may have more information.
Well, you know, and I really like, as far as, you know, let's just say to David's point, David, if this stuff is in your standards,
yeah.
I mean, that to me makes sense that we would accept it. Maybe we just need to find some terminology how we would write it, you know, as far as in that section, or, you know, only RTI received an Arkansas Certified Pre-Apprenticeship Program will apply, or Certified Pre-Apprenticeship Program, or a program that is already utilizing this within their standards of apprenticeship that are USDA well approved.
And Derek, I'll reaffirm exactly what I said earlier. You know, it may create some issues now, but you're trying to preload eliminating the issues we've run into. I am 110% for it. And I think we need to make sure that as we're asking questions. If we have a partner, that partner needs to be bringing that same level of expertise to the table. I don't care whether it's another state, whether it's a partnering entity, preloading our regulations solves problems and makes sure that our graduates have true portable credentials.
Only RTI received at an Arkansas Certified Pre-Apprenticeship Program or pre-apprenticeship. How do you have that in your standards, would you say, David?
It's just listed as a, you know, interim credential program. It's
okay.
A form of interim credentials. You can look under that section. It's a form of direct entry where a program has a MOU with a high school. Say, hey, if you complete this, then you get this credit. And we would run into a situation where if that deal has been made according to the standards somewhere and they come in, they couldn't use it in Arkansas the way it's written.
Has it listed in there? You said interim credentials?
Interim credentials. I can share that with you.
Yeah.
And maybe, Derek, just are an approved interim credentials program as certified by the state. You know, like there should be a way that they could present that. I don't know to what committee, but if you approve, if they bring that and they show that it meets the state requirements, then it can be approved.
Say that language again. Are
an interim credential program as approved by the state, or that meets the standards of the state of Arkansas, or?
Well, you know, and see, my thinking is there with what David's saying, we wouldn't, you know, we might not see all that from the beginning. So I do kind of like if it was, you know, kind of based off, if it's in their USDOL standards, hey, I'm all for it. You know, I like where he was going there.
Yeah, I understand where David's, because he's in the field and he knows that's going to be a problem for someone at down the road.
It seems to me like this is a pretty lengthy document, and this is the first time we've reviewed it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know why the rush to, if you're going to meet with other states at the end of the month, why not discuss with the other states what they do have? And kind of put some more thought into it before we approve it. I mean, what's the problem with tabling it to next month and revisiting then? Is it that great a push to pass it today, or to approve it today?
That was just how we had it set up, you know, just to see if, you know, y'all would even approve it, after time to review. So. You know, that was just what our process was, and we were just trying to make sure we had to get everybody to take a look at it as quickly as possible. That way it's not getting drug out any longer than what it would have to be. Because, you know, we might get here, guys, and get all this done, and then we still might not have this done this time next year. So, you know, as you go through the whole process, There's always little snags and stuff that can pop up along the way. So that's why we are just trying to go through the process and going that way.
But Derek, my understanding is if we approve this and we've had this good discussion and we're all aware there is a concern here and that it's going to come up in the public comments. Once the after the public comments is when the final document will be drafted. But I'm understanding that you're needing each committee to look through it, and then it's going to go to Stephanie's committee. Is that workforce development? Did I hear her say?
Yeah, basically, you know, I provided y'all the documentation there in the teams, the shared drive. You know, the you as your registered apprenticeship committee, AACSC, basically has promulgation of rules with us for the general apprenticeship rules and the CT guidelines. The Career and Workforce Development Board is the one who is actually over the electrical and the plumbing apprenticeship rules.
Would it be good for me to amend my motion as presented with concern about this item? Would you like that documented, that we have concern about that item?
What, Derek, without having it in front of me, what date is the public comment?
We're not even close. We still have to run through that, go to the governor's office. I mean, like I said, it might not be until this time next year. So,
Dr. Riggins, I want to make sure I follow the rules correctly, but rather than amend that motion, I would ask you to rescind that motion. And if you would be willing, I would like to make a motion to table this till next month's meeting.
I would second that.
I've got to wait on you to rescind. I think Mr. Harris is in the same camp. I would like to make a motion, if I have a chance, to table this till the next meeting for two reasons. This gives us a chance to really examine some of these questions we have in our mind, do a little bit more thorough research after an initial discussion, but give you guys a chance to, as Mr. Harris pointed out, visit with these other states and bring a little bit more comprehensive evaluation to the table before we make a recommendation just based on a 30-minute conversation. Is that acceptable, Dr. Riggins?
I would defer to Mr. Sharp because he's moderating the meeting.
We have a motion and a second to approve the document as presented. We're in discussion. If the person that made the motion wants to rescind that, they can do that at this time. If not, then we're going to need to act and we need to vote on the motion.
I think because of the process that needs to happen, and because there will be time for discussion and to correct this, I think it will hold up the entire process. I'm going to leave my motion to approve as presented, and then the committee can decide.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the document as presented. We will vote at this time. All in favor, say aye.
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 Do I have one aye to approve? Is that correct?
Two.
I think there was two. Yeah.
Two.
Aye. Three. Aye.
Three. Okay. All that don't approve the motion, say aye.
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 How many is that?
Aye.
We have David.
Tracy.
Keith.
Who else?
Tracy.
Aaron. Who else?
Aaron.
And that's four. How many else? How many more?
That's it. Say everybody.
Anybody not voting? Okay. 4-3 to not approve the motions. I will entertain another motion at this time.
I'd like to make a motion to table this until we've had a little bit more time to evaluate and let Stephanie and Derek bring a little bit more information back to us as a committee.
Second by Heath.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Discuss, and when you say bring back, we would discuss in September's meeting. Is that correct? We would act on this this document in September's meeting?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion? All right. We have a motion to table this, get more information, and review the information in September's meeting. Hearing no other comments or discussion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining?
One abstain. Carries.
Okay. So we'll look forward to more information, and I just want to emphasize great work. I really appreciate everything y'all have done, Derek, in getting us to this point. So I appreciate that. I know everybody else does too.
Yeah, I would agree with that. David, would you be able to get the standards that you were talking about? Would you be able to locate them before the next meeting and get them?
Yeah.
Around. Great. Thank you.
All right. We need the item number 6, open discussion. Derek, I don't think we had any items listed mm-hmm. under this. It was just open discussion to open up the floor for other related apprenticeship topics or any issues or problems people are having or just general information. So does anybody have anything?
Oh, I guess the only action item we did have here was our discussion about the meeting being moved.
Yes. we'll do that next. Okay. But do we have any other, new business or anything that any of the committee members would like to talk about?
Hey, Kelly, Bill Rochelle, I do. It's probably just to vent a little bit. I don't know how many other schools on the call are having issues with the USDOL, getting return phone calls, return emails. It's just become a very critical situation. I know we've got emails that we've sent to John that are a month old that haven't been responded to. I hear there's programs that may have programs that they're trying to get set up or modified that have had stuff into the Department of Labor for a month or two or three. And so it's just getting utterly ridiculous that we're having to put up with this. I did talk to John last week, and John basically told me he's swimming upstream. He's got still has 120 programs that he's responsible for in the state of Texas, along with the 150 that he has here in Arkansas. They're short staff. So again, I don't know what other programs are having an issue with it, but again, we've got a couple of emails that are a month that haven't been replied to. So anyway, probably just more of a vent. And hell, maybe we're the only one. I don't know, but it's definitely frustrating.
Okay. Feel your frustration, Bill. Is any other programs that's on the call have any being had any issues with USDOL? Okay. I've noted it here. If And I will probably talk to them for other reasons. But I will, the next opportunity I have, Bill, I will bring this to the front, to their attention. So we definitely
need answers. I don't want to go over John's head. I think the guy is trying to get his feet under him and everything, but it's definitely frustrating when you're just, again, not getting a response by somebody who's supposed to be supposed to be helping you.
No, I totally agree. I know John wasn't able to have the training meeting in July with Derek in the OSD because of health issues. He's not here because of health issues. So let me, I'll touch base and see. Just,
Tondra checked in the chat box, says she, I have had no response to emails also.
Okay. Good to know.
And then since he brought it up, ASU Mountain Home, like I said, has been trying to get a program approved since April, not going anywhere. I got another program, Apprentice-ly, that has been trying to get multiple appendices approved for here for over a month plus and not getting anywhere. There's multiple programs that have had issues. I've been seeing a bunch of them from people not having issues, just trying to get transfers completed, you know, and they can't find them in the rapids. There are quite a few of them that are having issues.
And Derek, I think an additional frustration is, you know, we set ours up in 2017 and we dealt with Lee Price and man, everything went smooth and it moved to Randy Prather. We really didn't have any issues there. Then we had Cynthia, and everything was great. And now we're almost being told some of the things that we've been doing since 2017, some of you probably for a lot longer, well, that's not right. That's not the way you're supposed to have been doing it. And that's BS. If we're being told by these folks that were previous to this person, hey, here's how you do it, and we've rocked along, well, now we get to this point and, oh, you know, that's not how it's supposed to be done. I mean, if that's the case, then we need to have another meeting and we'd offer up ABC to have it with John saying, okay, if you're saying that these programs aren't doing things right, that's what's crowding your inbox. That's what's, you know, you got all these voicemails about. If you're saying we're not doing things correctly, then you need to let us know what we need to be doing. So again, that's some more frustration that we have. You know, with the DOL right now.
Okay. Good to know, Bill. Appreciate that. We'll open up the floor to anybody that's on the call. Do you have any business you'd like to address at this time?
Hey, Kelly, this is Zach, ACEF.
Yes.
I just wanted to throw something out there, seeing if anyone else is having these issues. We're getting a lot of phone calls from apprentices that are being unable to test because the state is not recognizing their OJT hours. So I'm just wondering if anyone else is running into that. I had a lunch with David and spoke with Lindsay today, and I asked for some specifics of job duties, things that are they are not going to recognize towards licensing. But I'm just wanting to know if anyone else is seeing this from their apprentices.
Zach, the only issue we've run into is if you've got an apprentice that lets their license lapse, they are going back and looking during that period that they didn't have a license. If it's 6 months, if it's a year, then they're not allowing that OJT, those OJT hours to count. That's what we've run into a little bit.
Right. So, Bill, what I'm hearing is service work. So we've got some small mom and pop companies that they're not going to allow their guys to use service work towards their journeyman license. And even though they're doing actual, they're actually wiring, the state and David's not recognizing those hours.
We've not had that.
Okay.
Not that we, not that I don't think we have any that would fall into that category, though.
Okay.
Zach, is it because, I mean, they're saying it's got to be electrical construction hours get credit. I know we have people working maintenance facilities, this and that. Is that why they're saying, is they're saying that's not considered construction hours?
Yes, sir. Yep, that's it, David. And then also, we've got some guys that work, that do electrical work, facility maintenance, in manufacturing warehouses that he's not allowing to count in.
We've had that with maintenance type work, like you're talking about in warehouses, right, that type of thing. But, you know, because they're doing a lot of stuff other than electrical, but shoot, service work is really good experience. That probably should count double.
I just asked for some clarification from both David and Lindsay. That way, you know, there's no confusion. So it's something that we can give to our guys, especially, you know, for the start of school when we go through orientation, and let them know, you know, if you're doing this kind of work, it's not going to be allowed when you try to test. But I appreciate it, Kelly. Thank you, sir.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. All right. Anything else to discuss?
This is Ed. Just FYI. The electrical board has approved the NEC for 2023. It's gone to the governor's office, has been approved. It's now going to public comment next month.
All right. Well, good to know.
Hey, Ed, was it approved as submitted, or were any carve-outs, or was it?
The HVAC with the GFI has been omitted.
Okay.
All right. Action item number six. Looking at our September meeting, I think it's scheduled for the 5th. We got a lot of people out. That's a vacation or a holiday week, with Labor Day being Monday. We have staff members that's not available that week, and getting the paperwork and everything ready for the 5th just isn't going to happen. So we'd like to move our meeting to September the 12th. And it is a in-person meeting. So we would be meeting at OSD in Little Rock. Does anybody have a scheduling conflict with that date or anything? All right, hearing none, I would entertain a motion that we move our September meeting to the 12th.
I'll make that motion.
Second by Heath.
All right, we have a motion and a second to move our September meeting to the 12th. At the same time, it will be an in-person meeting at OSD. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. And the most important thing about that meeting is, do we have any volunteers to provide the food?
Jeffa will.
I'm sorry, we have two people.
Jeffa would be happy to.
Okay. If you would get with Derek and kind of work out the details on that, or we can go from there. We definitely need a head count. I know Derek has been sending out a little survey, and we appreciate everybody replying to that. That way we can figure out we have a quorum, but also we need to know how much food we're going to have on the 12th also. So please reply to that survey so we can nail that down. And we appreciate the food.
Yeah.
Definitely do. Mr. Derek, do we have anything else on our agenda?
No, sir.
All right. Do we have any other business to be brought before this committee at this time? Well, I appreciate everybody's time and everything. Great meeting, great discussion, pros, cons. It was great. That's what we're here for. The winners in this situation is the apprentice and the employers. So keep that in mind. So with that being said, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move, Ed.